Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Coconut water, rum and gin. Coconut water, rum and gin. Coconut water, rum and gin. That is Calypso vitamin. Coconut water, rum and gin. Coconut water, rum and gin. Coconut water, rum and gin. That is Calypso vitamin. A man, he marry a girl too young. He give her diamond and everything.
No, honey, won't you come with me? Let's go back to the West Indies. For baby, can't you see? I've lost my pep and my energy. What I need is rum and coconut water.
Jenny!
Rum and coconut water.
Jenny!
Rum and coconut water I cannot get in America. Now I remember when I was young, I was very robust and strong. But now as I walk on the street, I feel a weakness into my feet. What I need is rum and coconut water.
Hey!
Rum and coconut
water. What I need is rum and coconut water. I had to bring that song back to see how familiar, how similar it is to gin and coconut water. All my life, I thought gin and coconut water is Bahamian. I said, that was ours. We exported that to America, and America claiming it now. We exported it to the Caribbean. So I want to continue the conversation Aaron had about the opportunities of the coconut industry. I want to continue a conversation about cottage industry and people who sell alongside the road and what we can do to assist them, right? But before I get there, we're West Indies, Aaron. And I remember there are people who say, man, the Bahamas is not a part of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
But that song suggests it differently.
Yeah.
It suggests that we are part of the main. We are not independent floating in this big ocean by ourselves, but we are connected to the rest of the Caribbean through history, culture, and just generations.
Right. And of course, there were differences, but the way that we perceived the differences were perceived differently, right? Like the things that made us different yesterday are not the same things that make us different today from our regional counterparts.
I wonder if rum and coconut water and sweet milk would be still gully wash. Or that's right, something different.
I think it's something different, but it tastes good.
You taste rum and coconut water?
Yeah.
I mean, I've tasted the gin and coconut water. I don't even drink, but I taste it.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know when you run out of gin?
Yeah.
But things got to work.
Just one for the definition before we go into our show today. Mm-hmm. My guest canceled, so I'm glad I was able to give you the 30 minutes to expand your ideas, right? And I know I have a guest at 11:30, Mr. Mm-hmm. Williams, the men's desk.
And it's great because we're talking about solutions for, in particular, young people, but for young men in particular.
Yes. What is West Indies, by the way? What's the difference between West Indies and Caribbean? This is a trick question. Oh, I should give this as another fingers,
look
rum fingers.
I can fail today.
You want me to do another rum fingers giveaway or you give away too much?
To other people?
Yeah.
We could do another one.
I want the best definition. The difference between Caribbean and West Indies. We were once a part of the West Indies, and I want to know a definition. What makes Caribbean Caribbean? What makes West Indies West Indies? What makes us the difference, right? But this is a conversation I have for today. I'm talking about street vendors, right? And the mm-hmm. proliferation of street vendors and the duty of care the government and society has to them.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the coconut vendors, and I want to know what can we do to assist them in making it better for themselves?
That's the first thing we could do. Now, this may seem odd at first, but hear me out. Tomorrow night, University of the West Indies and CARDI, that's the Caribbean Agriculture Research and Development Institute, is hosting a virtual forum called Potential of the Coconut Industry and Sustainable Development Symposium, right? So the first thing we could do is we could tune in to uetv.global or UETV on Facebook, right? Tomorrow evening at, I think, 6... p.m. Check the website today to confirm the times, the start time. Potential of the Coconut Industry and Sustainable Development Symposium on UETV. First thing we could do is connect to that conversation and see what our regional counterparts are doing and whether they already they have programs existing already that we can tie into, like the Alliance's Coconut Industry Development, right? And you could find that at coconuts.cardi.org. And they had 12 CARIFORUM countries: Antigua and Barbuda, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, Dominican Republic, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Suriname, Trinidad and Tobago, right? And they implemented this partnership, and they've been doing a ton of work. They've had the governance sectors improve with more than 200 public and private stakeholders, 45 nurseries established, servicing 5,000 farmers in the Caribbean, 30 agro-processors with improved capacity and linkages with smallholder farmers, tech cooperation, transfer of knowledge and improvements in technical cooperation, and a revision of regional standards of coconut water, right? Bang. So there are programs that exist in the region. We don't have to start from the ground up. We can connect to what's already happening. What the Coconut Boys need are for people who have coconut trees and are unable to manage them themselves. Connect with the Coconut Boy and say, hey, I need my yard clean. Let's work out a price and you can take the coconuts. Leave me some, right? You could take a share of the coconuts for your business.
Okay, I hear you. But one of my concerns is how it looks on the side of the road. Now, I know we Caribbean. Yeah. That's why we started with the music. We are West Indian. So West Indian in the Caribbean has a look.
Right.
But I don't necessarily appreciate right. the look of coconut vendors on the side of the road with husk and a small makeshift table on the side of the road. Surely it can be improved upon to make it a part of the tourism product, a part of the local product, but well, attractive.
Right. I'll say this. We have a problem putting up bus stops. So this one could be difficult, right? A part of the issue is simply the vendors need to practice a bit more spatial awareness and better locate themselves in the spaces that they're in. We should have designated spaces. Like when you go out Gambier, the western entrance to Gambier by the church, and across the road you have the parking area and you have the seawall. That would be a great place for coconut stand.
So who should determine that? Can I just go there and just park my stuff and say, I have my coconut stand here?
Local. This is why we need local government. Local government, along with a constituency team, right, should be able to determine. See, the constituency team should be connecting people with the about approve your vendor permit, approve that the site is reasonable, it's safe, you can handle traffic and people pulling over on the side of the road safely. Constituency office can facilitate connection with the state agencies required for approval. A local government could also, if it existed properly, could help with that function and identify locations and people who are most in need, or better yet, who are best suited to manage the operation.
And I see you tease me about local government, because Nassau does not have local government, so I don't know why you brought it up as an option. I'm talking about now.
Constituency teams. In the absence of local government.
I can't picture a constituency team come and tell someone to park on the side of the road and open up a business, a makeshift.
No, the constituency team would identify ideal locations for setup for stands. The constituency team would ensure that when the team from Beaches and Parks that has been assigned to the constituency come into the community, that those people are either, you know, are contracted, that those people are contracted or to remove the waste or to relocate it, right? But they can help the coordination of services required to make this work, right? The person who's selling coconuts, they're going to need a truck. They're going to need a vehicle purpose for that, because whatever vehicle they're using, they're going to be destroying.
But you're going too fast. You're going too fast, because I understand the tools that they need and assuming that they have these things, right?
Okay.
I'm talking about government and government responsibility to roadside vendors. So I want to start with there. Fox, oh, let me go to the caller first.
Yeah,
I know the caller being holding for a while. And that might be the gentleman who was explaining to me how to make this oily coconut.
Right.
Let me do that first.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Do it again. Caller, can you hear me? All right.
Hold the line.
Don't line, because the producer went down to pick up Dave, my next guest, for 11:30. Caller, I see you. I'm just trying to get a connect with you, and so forgive me for that. But this is my concern. Right.
Yeah.
I appreciate the nuances, the idea that this is a tropical island and right. We should have roadside vendors.
Okay, so.
But I'm picturing Cowpen Road where there are vendors on the sidewalk that can't be.
Yeah, no. Sidewalks are not for vendors.
I'm picturing Foxhill where we have an increase, a proliferation of roadside vendors, which we like in Foxhill because we appreciate ourselves as a village. So we expect that.
They can't be on the sidewalk.
So who is it that's supposed to erect a shelter-ish type thing, right? That adds to the charm and ambiance. And in terms, you mentioned spatial awareness, and I'm thinking of the appropriate space, not you driving on the side of the road and you turning, and when you turn, the people stop on the side of the road to go buy a Gnep. There needs to be an organized approach to this.
Right.
Who is responsible for that organized approach?
It should be a combination of people from within the community. Start with the constituency team, and they should help you identify people. There should be a business association in the community where business owners lobby together for their needs, right? Those people, because you may have a situation where a business owner may say, hey, I actually have space on my property that you could use for your thing. You can drive customers to my business anyway. We have adequate parking to accommodate people who may stop to see you, right? The community association, like you got the Acklands Development Association, the Fox Hill Development Association, may identify a piece of land, go to the property owner and say, can we lease this from you for the purpose of setting up a fruit stand or a roadside vendor village where people can come and park and walk through, right? These are why you need to begin organizing within your community so you can have bodies to represent the various interests in the community, right? Like, obviously, there's nobody to represent pedestrians in these communities because business owners think that sidewalks are for their customers to park on. Customers think that sidewalks are for them to park on as opposed to finding appropriate parking. But nobody thinks that poor people that don't have cars need sidewalks to traverse the road safely. Same thing for the vendors. They can't be occupying the sidewalk.
We traverse the Eastern Road.
Yeah.
Right? And we see the coconut guy there, right?
Yeah.
It's nice. And producer, when you get through, patch that caller in for me, please, there, Ali. It doesn't look appropriate for a Eastern Road concept. How do we improve that? I mean, I don't want to run them, right?
Yeah.
I want them to stay there. But it has to be something attractive, a part of the charm of the
right. With that particular space, you know, the young men need a bin. Right? They need a place to put the coconuts so that the empty coconuts are not just piling up on the side of the road. They need a bin that's easy, right? It's an ideal location, though, because what they should be doing is they should have an agreement with the agency that regulates Montague Ramp so that they can have access to that bin there so that they can move their coconuts quickly and easily to that bin so they're not just piled up until the end of the day.
So we have to call it finally on now. Caller, do you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah. I've been hanging for a long time.
Forgive me. The producer just stepped in to get my next guest, and so we didn't come
here. But I tell you, I'll make this coconut oil now. You're going to put some top up on my phone.
Yes, no, I have no problem with that.
That'll be your prize.
And what? Leave your number with the producer, too, so I can put some top up on your phone.
Listen now. In order to make this coconut oil,
yeah,
you have to have sufficient dry coconut, hard coconut. You know, we got jelly coconut and we have hard coconut.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get a few hard coconut. You got to get your grater, get your nice size bowl, and you're going to start grating that coconut in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you box your coconut and you take it out and you start grating that coconut in that bowl. And when you get sufficient, the more coconut you can grate, the more oil you'll have. Because now, when you done finished grating the coconut, let's say you have 5 coconuts to grate them.
Mm-hmm.
You throw your water in there. You get a cloth or you have a sieve.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a sieve, you get your cloth and you put it on a nice size pot or whatever, and you put some clothespin around it so it can hold up. That would be, so when you put our coconut water and the oil in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the coconut now water in there.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes not the coconut milk. So mm-hmm. if you have the cloth, you're going to squeeze it. And you're going to squeeze all that milk out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that sufficient milk, you're going to put that in the pot and put it on the stove. But what I used to do is to get my outside stove. And, you know, I mm-hmm. never really use the gas stove or like that. I get my outside three rock over there and put my screw in the whole pot.
Did you say three rock? Did you say three rock?
You can get three rock and put a screen. Or
tell the people the three rock oven is a thing.
Yes, three rock. You get three rock and put a screen, you know, like a wire screen over the pot. And you put your little stick up underneath there, get all that heat up underneath there. And you call it bubble. You got to bubble up what? Bubble the oil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you got another, you can smell it. You can smell when it come into that room. You can smell when it start the bubble and turn into the oil. And you open your cover, you see the oil, and you get your jar. You pour it in your jar, whatever you want pour it in, and you preserve that. You can cook with that. You mm-hmm. can rub that in your hair. Your hair smells so wonderful and beautiful.
Listen,
what you cook with that? Give me some recipes. What you cook with that?
You can cook rice with that. You can fry fish. You can fry chicken. You can fry pork chop. You can cook with that. Now the milk you could use for like soup. But mm-hmm. the oil, you fry and stuff with that. You could cook. That's how you put your vegetable in the pot to cook your rice. You do all but the coconut oil. Man, there is something. You don't want a pot taste better than that, smell better than that when you cook it.
Man, listen, my modem stopped working on a holiday weekend. I put a little coconut oil on the back of that was working in 2 hours. Huh? Coconut oil is magic.
I tell you, I talk about people will be like, oh my God, a pot smell good, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you from Nassau or are you from Family Island?
I born and grew up in Nassau. I used to bubble oil in Tain.
Your people you from, what island your people from?
Well, my mother from Eleuthera and my old man from Auckland.
Okay.
Yeah, what part of Auckland? Just asking.
My old man is from Hard Hill.
Oh, Hard Hill. You just went in Collier?
Yeah.
There you go.
just say where you're from. I can just guess. Just where you're from.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. Another thing too, right? They see the coconut milk?
Yeah.
When you wash your hair?
Yeah.
And you put that on your hair? Man, there is some urine. I thought that smells so good.
Oh, yeah.
The other day, I was talking to this young lady. I said, yeah, you smell good. I said, you have coconut oil or something here, sir. How do you know? I said, I know about that. So she had the coconut oil there for two.
Mm-hmm.
It smells so nice.
I almost crashed my car because the bee come in the car and sit on my arm. Coconut oil up.
It smells good.
Yeah.
Leave your number with the producer, guest for me, please.
Yeah.
And producer, patch the next call for me.
Thank you so much, caller. Thank you.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hi, good morning, Mr. Nouri, and good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
I was just listening to the caller, and I just have, I have a sort of different spin on the coconut oil.
Okay.
You can do it inside, because I've done it inside.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you do need a lot of coconut. It's easy, but it's a lengthy process for me. I normally, after I grate my coconut, you put the water in it, you strain the milk out.
Mm-hmm.
I normally put it in a container, put it in the fridge. And then the coconut milk floats to the water
uh-huh.
goes to the bottom and separates from the coconut milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then you skim off that hard coconut milk the next morning,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you boil.
Okay.
And you boil that down, you reduce that, and you make the coconut oil.
You ever just take the coconut milk and dilute it and use it for cereal?
Cereal, no. No, I've never tried that.
Okay.
But I've put coconut milk in my, not diluted and make, put it in cereal in terms of, like, to make cereal, you know, like cornflakes like we used to have back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
No, not like that. But I've put the coconut milk in cereals, hot cereals, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Hot cereals like my oatmeal, my cornmeal porridge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do flour pop no more.
You see cream of wheat?
What? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That too.
You from Nassau too, or are you from the Family Island?
I'm from Nassau as well.
Where do these Nassau people get these recipes from?
Don't so be aspersionous, babe.
Even though you live in Nassau, you're born and grow. You got people from the island.
Yes.
You have people from the island too?
Of course.
Which island?
Which island?
Andras.
Uh-huh. Coconut Milk Town.
Long Island, Cat Island.
Mm-hmm.
So you from down south or down north?
Wherever. I don't know. My granddaddy was from Mine Grove Key.
Okay.
My grammy was, even though she was born in America, she was American, but she grew up here.
Yeah.
Her mother was from Long Island. Her father was from Cat Island. My great-grandfather was from Eleuthera.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Preserve the culture, hey?
There you go.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. You're
so there's room for coconut.
Oh, yeah.
That means some more quality. So let's see. We still have to try this time.
I get one thing I read. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Patch the next caller for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead. Next one. Go ahead. Can you hear me? Yeah,
good morning, Mr. Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning, sir.
You want to hear what I have to say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Grammy's on just God. So let me tell you something. Yeah, all of the callers are correct, right?
Uh-huh.
I like what the last lady did, because that's the way I do it, did it. My brother who's a Rasta been making coconut milk for years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, what I don't hear them mention is that the older the coconut, you notice it'll be, like, even if it's grayish and it's old, you'll see more oil. You could actually see the oil in the coconut according to how aged the coconut is.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to use the coconut that is kind of mature, and sometimes you could actually see the oil in it. And that is make it much more oilier.
Mm-hmm.
As with the coconut milk, the thing is with that, I make it raw form, but it doesn't last that long. So you have to put it in the freezer. But if you make it, you have to consume it very quickly. I do the same thing with the lady do.
Yeah.
I mix it with the carrot and all that. And people, if you sell it, people can't pay for it because then you don't put no preservatives in it. It don't really last that long, but it's actually very, very tasty.
Yeah.
So what I do is, when I make smoothies and stuff, because I have like coconut trees in the yard, and sometimes I have like 40, 50 coconuts in my shop. So what happens is I use the coconut water to sweeten. So when the roster of the mall approached me with carrot juice, I asked him, would he sweeten it a bit? Once he tell me sweet milk or he ain't putting agave or something natural, I don't even buy it. Because if you're putting sweet milk in it, it doesn't make sense. The glycemic index is too high. So I just thought I'd share it. Bless
you. I appreciate it.
Let's see
if I can speak through some of these calls. Go to the next one. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. I want to make a positive on Michael Mann.
Go ahead.
About these trees.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned before on the radio, when the government is doing new subdivision, I think they should plant about 2 fruit trees on the lot so the contractor can take care of the tree until the house is finished and make sure it catch and grow.
That's what they did in Elizabeth Estates.
It would help us with, now you plant like mangoes, trees that you can control, mangoes, plum, dilly, and coconut trees and banana trees in the yard. So it'll help with us importing all these things all the time. Because I have my yard full of bananas. I haven't bought bananas in about 2 or 3 years.
Excellent, sir.
And these things are trees you can plant and leave, and they take care of themselves. Because the Bahamians are so used to going to the food store, until they don't know how to plant a simple tree.
Mm-hmm.
And some things you can just drop in the yard and grow.
Yep.
But to help them with this idea, we need to, when we do a subdivision and you cut up the lot, plant 2 trees. Anytime you sign a contract to build a house, the contractor would plant 2 trees. The homeowner would pay for it indirectly, but the tree will be there, and they'll be so glad at the end of the day that they could go and pick a mango, pick pears, or they could get sugar cane or bananas.
Thank you very much.
This generation don't know nothing about planting trees.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. I ain't going to take that to heart.
Let's see if we get one more caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Turn down your radio. That's me talking to you. Oh, he realizes it's him.
Turn your radio down, caller.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Nuri. How you doing?
Doing well.
Okay, now I could get a second or two when we talk about these trees. Since I moved down in Pryor Estate 2006, I've spoken to 3 different MPs about the park in Pryor Estate. I gave each one of them the same idea. Everyone said they loved the idea. It is 2023 now, and that was 2006. I told him, instead of planting these ficus and a bunch of bush in these parks around here,
plant tree spinach.
Miss Green, listen to this. I told every MP, including the one now, that every month when I get paid, I will go to Rocky Farms or somewhere, and I will get a breadfruit tree. The next month, I'll get a banana tree, and I'll go on every 10 to 15 feet around the park, allowing for access to trucks and vans to come in when they have activities on the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I would plant fruit trees instead of these bunch of palms and all kind of foolishness, what only is caused garbage and bush.
Well, I mean,
unlike the
mulching.
2003, it hasn't been done yet. I tell them all they need to do is send me an abaco because of my physical situation. Give me a abaco and dig me a hole, a 4-foot hole every 10 feet. And watch what will happen. You'll have people in the neighborhood. When the dilly's in session, we can eat dillies, and the children can learn about dilly. Visitors who come to Florida State Park, when they come down there, they can have some of the dillies. Everybody can eat. When Perry Christie was Minister of Agriculture, you remember back then they had one farm in Florida where they bought a bunch of palms. And
oh, let's not talk about that, Sparky.
Let's go to this last call. So we go to Dave Williams. Dave Williams in-house at the men's desk. But I want to talk to this last call.
Sparky's idea was great.
No, I love
Sparky's idea.
Sparky's
idea is great.
I mean, I lobby that. Give him space to remind the ministers and the MP in his area that he is lobbying for that. Like a call.
And it's his idea.
Yeah, it's his idea. I like it. Go ahead, call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good afternoon again. GNN again. What I think Aaron and you is trying to accomplish today is new ideas, new innovations that we could come up with, not the same old.
Mm-hmm.
Like the blood transfusion I told you about early.
Yeah.
But I've never heard anybody spoke about with reference to the coconut. The topic at hand is why don't we learn how to graft a coconut tree and probably make a mango-infused coconut water or a pepper-infused coconut water tree or something of that aspect.
That's a unique plan.
I got a new product. That's what I got. But yes.
It's changing the whole concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could graft it, and then the water come up probably like a little peppery or a little mangoey or a little, you know.
See what's possible. See what's possible.
I like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Oh, man, you're absolutely right. Thank you.
Let's
run through my list.
Run through your list, right? And then producer. You could start playing that music while Aaron goes through.
Yeah. Play the music. Okay, watch this. We got these hotels, right? And we have these grand ideas. Imagine an eco resort, a sustainable resort, right? And how do we infuse coconut into that? Man, we could have woven coconut products like mats and throws and chair covers, right? We could be making cordage from coconut, ornaments, musical instruments, upholstery filling. Rolls Royces use coconut coir only for their car seats, right? We could be making composite pallets, the coal, the charcoal, the briquettes with coconut. And coconut mulch is special because it doesn't harbor termites, right? We should be making coconut mulch. Anyway, Mr. Newry, thank you for entertaining me in this half of the hour. And caller, you were right. The intent was to create a space that people start thinking about the potential that's right in their hands.
And nobody call us say the difference between the West Indies and the Caribbean, so I can give them another price.
There you go.
Yeah, but whilst Mr. Williams is here with his guest, right? You still call it, and in between we could do that.
Right.
The best answer win.
I still think the best idea I've heard so far was my own, which was vegan corned beef made with dried grated coconut.
And you say you're gonna be at Jollification which day?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, so tomorrow Friday.
Yeah, for members. Members only on
members,
Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the evening.
And when you say members only, you're by amongst yourself?
No, they come out and support the vendors that are also members.
Oh.
Yes, especially they get first pick of the goods.
And what you selling?
World famous rum fingers and cheeky Chicchani lemonades.
Oh, that's your two products there?
Well, I also have local flower infused lotions, hair tonics. I've got local flower. I got local flower teas. I got local leaf teas. I've got infused salts, infused rums, mulled wine, pepper sauces, barbecue sauces. You ever had watermelon waffle syrup?
No.
You ever had hog plum pancake syrup?
No.
You ever had hallelujah fish sauce? It'll resurrect the fish out of your freezer. Could have been dead 5 years.
I had some fish who'd been there for 6 months.
Tastes like it fresh out the ocean.
Yeah.
Come find us. Seasonal sunshine at Jollification.
Yes. And we're going to take a quick break here. Guiding Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. We have Dave Williams here from the men's desk, and he has some activities that are happening for empowering men in general. So we can bring him in with his guests to see what's on the agenda. How are we helping our men and promoting our men?
International Men's Day is on the way.
When is International Men's Day?
Mr. Williams is going to tell us right now.
Okay, that's good. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
Holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardian's holiday gift guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. Santa Claus is coming to town. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardian's holiday gift guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardian's holiday gift guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Now, honey, won't you come with me? Let's go back to the West Indies. For baby, can't you see? I've lost my pep and my energy. What I need is rum and coconut water.
Jelly!
Rum and coconut water.
Jelly!
Rum and coconut water I cannot get in America. Now I remember when I was young, I was very robust and strong. But now as I walk on the street, I...
And welcome back to... Where do I work?
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Welcome to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Sitting in is Aaron Green, and joining us right now is Mr. David Williams and Mr. Randy Hanna from the International Men's Day Committee.
Thank you very much for that, because you know I went blank, right?
Yes,
I had no clue what my name is, where I was. I know on the radio, but where am I calling? Yes. But we are celebrating International Men's Day today. And that means, not today, but we are preparing for it, right? Mm-hmm. And that means when we're preparing for it, Dave Williams pop up. He pops up and gives us detail on what is happening. And today he brought in the treasurer. So later on we're going to introduce himself. You have him introduce himself and see what he does and how he's joining this program in empowerment and uplifting men. But Mr. Williams.
Yes, sir.
What's new on the agenda? Give me some dates, some time.
Tell us what International Men's
Day... We know what that is by now?
But we could just repeat it.
Yeah, of course you got to repeat it.
Yeah, yeah.
But we should know what it is by now.
Okay.
Yeah? But go ahead. Let him have a repeat all of that. I appreciate you getting there.
Once again, good morning to everyone those listening in. International Men's Day Bahamas Committee, we are part of that. We know that celebrated on November 19th, every November 19th, right? International Men's Day, just to give a little bit of history, was founded by... the then leader of the opposition, who's now the prime minister of the Bahamas today, Mr. Philip Brave Davis, as well as the then Senator Fred Mitchell, who's now Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Okay.
While traveling, they saw this event was taking place, and they wondered, how come it is not here? And they gave the mandate to Mr. Keith Cox, who's the president, and also the late Terrence Battle, who I know Guardian is very familiar with.
Yes.
Terrence Battle contacted me, knowing that I was always involved in men's ministry. And so we had the first meeting. And as a result of it, International Men's Day was founded. And so that's what it is. The organization, it's in a number of countries with a focus on zero male suicide. That's the topic for this year. We want to focus on zero male suicide. And as a result of that, we also talk about gender relationships to improve the gender relationship between men and boys, women and girls. We also want to talk about education and, you know, a number of items that affect men. And what we're planning in honor of the country's 50th anniversary, this coming Sunday, 3 p.m. at Chapel on the Hill. That's right there on the Tanique Williams Darling Highway with Pastor Nathan Wells. We are recognizing, awarding 50 men. So, Aaron Green, I know you agree with me. There are many good men left, okay? There are many men.
Without a doubt.
Right. And so our focus is on improving gender relationships between men and women, addressing the problems and challenges that men face, promote gender equality while highlighting positive male role model, create a safer, better world, focus on men's health. And so what do we want to do? 50 men have been identified throughout the community who have given service in the Bahamas. And we want to be able to celebrate with these men this coming Sunday, 3 p.m. at Chapel on the Hill. And also, but today we begin with a prayer rally, weather permitting, and we're believing that the God in whom we serve will hold up the rain. And 6:30 at Christie Park, we're inviting all to come join us, whether you're pastors, whether you're bishops, apostles, whether you're a non-denomination, you're non-Christian, we're inviting you to come join us as we want to have a rally to lift up our men because we recognize the challenges. And I want to say men hurt too. I moderated a seminar yesterday at the police headquarters. It is the domestic violence unit led by Inspector Kendra Wimps Wallace. And we got to hear from men express some of the things that they go through, the challenges that they face, the hurt. And as a matter of fact, while I was on another station just this morning, a gentleman called and said, right, and this is what we have to deal with, how the challenges he's having in his home, but he can't say nothing. This was his words now. Mm-hmm. And this was live on radio and TV. He can't say nothing because it's her house. Another gentleman, immediately after I came off, I don't know if this is the same gentleman, he called me and said he needed to talk to me with some of the challenges we face. So men do hurt. Men go through things. Men go through experiences.
Let me pause there because I, being a man, see, I look at Aaron, me being a man, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? What resources are there for when people like me hurt? When I say, man, I kind of overwhelm. Mm-hmm. Or I say, man, I had this woman house too. Right? I can't get put out, you know? Or when I say, man, there's too much woman inside this house because, you know, I have too much girl picking and thing, right? And I say, I don't feel like man,
uh-huh.
Right? Where, what kind of resources out there I can say I want to reach out and have men counsel me or men tell me it could be okay? Just smile.
You know, and I know you can bring in our other guests because I don't want to dominate the show per se, right? And the first thing I would say for me is that men ought to reach the other men, right? One. Two, we need to create a space because you asked me what resources. Mm-hmm. And unless outside of a church setting, as far as I know now, I only can speak for what I know, we really don't have a safe space that men can go and talk.
And the bar is not the space.
No.
We're not denigrating bars.
No.
But the bar is not the space. It has become the space. Men use it as the space, but men deserve a space outside of that space.
Right.
For them.
Yes. But I want to introduce Pastor Hannah, so I don't want to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cousin Hannah, you got to speak mic directly into the mic.
And we're inviting him to join the Hannah Hasty Times group, right? Because he's a Hannah.
Yeah. Hannah from Acklands, too.
Hannah from Acklands, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But go ahead. No, Mike, a little closer.
Yeah, yeah.
The mic, higher. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. And for your invite here today, to Elder Dave and to all our guests, welcome to the Bahamas also. I'm glad to be here. When we think about men hurt in different ways from women.
Mm-hmm.
And men tends to eternalize their issues. A woman will find someone to talk to in the beauty salon. She will call a sister. She will call a friend. Men tends to eternalize their issues. And because of that, that's why we have such a high level of suicide among men. Men doesn't really communicate effectively the way they ought to. And so we, in this men organization, you ask a good question, Nui, that where do men go to outlet, to let off steam, you know? And so we in this men organization, one of the days we hope to organize a place where men can come and just socialize among themselves and just find ways to just have men talk. You know, like I say, this International Men's Day is made up of a group of different organizations of men, right, that do different things,
that's,
you know?
Right.
Like you know, Dave is part of Prison Fellowship. I'm also part of Prison Fellowship. We also part of an organization called QUIP, where we go into the prison and we communicate with the young men in the juvenile section. We go to our shore and deal with the young men, the troubled men in school. So we trying to reach some of the very young, you know, because men seems to be at a situation, a crossroad now where sometimes they don't know which direction to move in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know the women are seen to be more organized and they get things yes. done more fluently. Simply because there's more avenue for them, you know. But the crisis center also deal with men also.
Mm-hmm.
If we call the crisis center, they have a place where they will counsel men. Also, Great Commission Ministry, Bishop Walter Hanchel, who is one of our honorees too, he has a place there. So there's some avenue for men to go, but the knowledge is not there. In other words, the publicity is not there where they go to help. So like you said, they end up in the barroom, but I know we're trying to change that.
And before we start talking about the 50 people, men,
right.
that you plan to celebrate and
yeah.
honor,
yes.
right? I want to talk about network.
Okay.
Where can a young man like me, 40-odd-ish, right, can go and commune with other men and I feel comfortable and I'm able to say, this is my business, this is what I do. I want to have fun in a wholesome way and bring my churn or my boys and say, man, we're going to hang with the boys mm-hmm. in a safe environment where I don't have to be judged.
You know, as you said, from my perspective, we need to create that safe space.
In fact, Mr. Williams,
uh-huh.
you all need a car club. Uh-huh. You need a space on Saturday, right, where men could bring the sons, the daughters, primarily sons, right? Trying
right.
to create a man space.
Right.
Where they could come and learn about car.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And while you teaching the son about car, the father actually learning about car at the same time.
Mm-hmm. But I know some church groups, because I know I have done it, I've been a part of it. I was invited to speak to a group of men about 2 years ago, just before the pandemic, in Turks and Caicos Islands. And I spoke that Thursday, I spoke that Friday, I spoke that Saturday. And then that Sunday morning, that's what they did. They brought out all the men, brought their sons, and they were teaching you how to hang the door, how to mm-hmm. change oil, how to change tire, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, and I've seen it happen at one or two churches here. So I think that's a start.
And what about the family, Ellen?
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Hannah them from Auckland.
Auckland, right.
How are you impacting the family island with the International Men's Group Week agenda and your activities in general?
Well, one way we're doing it, over the last few years, we have honored persons. Actually, for the last 3 years, we honored individuals from different family islands, right? And I look at my listing, I can see Abaco, Eleuthera, Andrews, Cat Island. We ensured that we said Bahamas. We ensured that one of the honorees. Now, there's a list of 50 honorees, and I want to believe that there would be individuals from different islands because it involved persons in sports, business, politics. It's from different spheres of society. So it's not just NASA-centric, and it's not just religion. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But another space we can use, because we know that they're the largest, they're the sports, and they're the other areas where men congregate, come together, and be able to share. And we now need to maybe bring out our sons, because for me, I use the basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
So every now and then, this is where I congregate. My youngest son loves basketball. So I go there on the court, you know, they may laugh and tease me and everything, because it'll find the old man with the young boys. Mm-hmm. But they don't realize I'm only doing it there to be a mentoring and to sit down and listen to the conversations they are having and be able to stand up and say, well, no, this is not right or not. Shouldn't say that.
Right. Like, you know what young men could benefit from? We have a We got really record low scores,
uh-huh.
exams,
okay.
math and English, people not doing well in. But we're actually very numerate. We're very good with numbers. You watch men in particular play backgammon, play dominoes,
uh-huh.
play checkers and chess.
Uh-huh.
You realize that these guys actually have great intellectual skill.
Okay.
They're good with numbers. They uh-huh. know statistics and probabilities because uh-huh. they know what card coming around next.
Uh-huh.
That's a space where young men could become more comfortable with those skills and see this math thing is real.
Yes.
These boy them sharp on their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be like them too.
Yes.
And make the link to, well, this is what you actually study in school as well.
A gentleman in our group, Nat Holiday, he specializes in chess. And that is one of the avenues he uses
mm-hmm.
to reach young boys through that chess, you know.
Yeah, right. It connects them to the math skills, you know. But let's go through the list of names.
Yes.
Give us some of these names.
I want to know the date also.
Okay.
When is the
International Men's Day is November 19th. right? So, and this it happened to be on a Sunday, and so we're having the ceremonies this coming Sunday, 3 p.m. at the church, as I was saying. And so some of the names, I'm just trying to go through them now, that I can call out my head who have accepted, persons who I've worked with over the years closely. I know the commissioner, the acting commissioner of the Department of Corrections, Dawn Clare, he accepted. Like I say, I didn't nominate him, folks. I know you know me for prison ministries, but I did not nominate him. But he is one who have accepted the invitation. I also know the Commodore, because I was the one who reached out to him after they nominated him to see if he accepted. The Commodore of the Defense Force, Dr. Raymond King, he has accepted. I know you mentioned Bishop Hanchel has accepted, right?
Yes. Go
ahead.
Yes, yeah, some of the other honorees, especially Walter Hanchel, you know, he's done excellent work feeding the less fortunate community. So he will be on our honoree. Also, Bishop Lawrence Roll.
Okay.
He is one of our honoree also, the senior bishop.
Nice, yes.
He's done a lot of work in the inner city, feeding the less fortunate.
Uh-huh.
Also, another one of our honorees, Bishop John Ferguson.
Okay, yes.
All the way from Auckland.
Oh, there you go. We got to celebrate
him. All right. Yeah, yeah.
Raleigh Nally.
Raleigh, yes.
He did with a Sunday school.
That's a Woods Alley.
Woods Alley.
Yes. He used to be in the police force.
He used to be assistant commissioner.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. He is one of our honoree also. We have also Mario Ford. He is one of the Ford clan that deals with the sport and
discipline. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Baseball.
On Red Salt Lane, he disciplined the little children in sports and youth development. And so we have also Randy Johnson. He deals with karate.
Yes, young man. Yes.
And in the Collins Avenue area. So all of these patients are in the inner city. They're some of our honoree. We also have William Lund. He deals with some young youth.
Young man, right.
Taylor Street area. And so we're just trying to deal with the unsung heroes, Aaron. You know,
people who
doesn't really...
Catch the spotlight all the time.
Our major two honorees is A. Loftus Roker, all the way from Auckland, who is one of the signatory on our independent, and Captain Friendly Palmer.
Yes, yes.
He is my captain in the boys' brigade for almost 70 years.
Look at that, Mr. Palmer. Palmer was also honored by the Sports Council. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame this year as well. Cousin Hannah, let's stick a pin for a second. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
Aaron Nuri, and the best way to, also not the best way to get together with men is with your regular NFL and NBA games at various clubs.
Okay. So you use that space while they're gathered.
Right. Some men could play local sports, and some men could, that's like with me. I do it virtually. We get together with men and we watch football.
Okay,
But that's on Sunday. That every time a football season, college, Saturday and Sunday, or NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the good way to get together, too, because men all over the place. You go on Sunday right now, Sunday coming, everybody watching football, men getting together.
Yeah.
But you know, so
okay,
do it that way.
We throw it on the list, and then the men are
after in. After we throw it on the list, and you see more men there. And these gentlemen know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
They do it, too.
Yes. Absolutely.
But we need to do it. We need to spread the word. Get together. And afterward, we...
And encourage men to be intentional when they're in the space with each other. Like, look out to your brother. See how he's responding. Maybe he is a little more down this week than last week.
Right.
Maybe you notice this boy been sad for the last 3 weeks.
And also hats off to the barber store.
Yes, yes.
I love going to the barber store. That's where men hang out. That's like women go to the hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
The best information the barber the men would pour their heart to other men.
Yeah.
Barber stores and games.
All right.
I'm your punk. You have a good day. That's where I hang out.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Mr. Williams.
Yes.
Is there any patron of this event?
No, as far as I can recall, no. We haven't named any patron for this event. But one good thing is that these 50 men who are being honored, this will stand out in history because I don't know where y'all going to be, but 50 years from now, when it comes around again, I'll be able to tell the story. And I'm 58. So
you eating that good coconut? I see.
I eat everything. The good coconut, the kaneb, the juju. I eat everything. Yes. So I know. So my point is, this is a staple event that, hey, 50 years from now, when we sit back and talk, these were 50 men who IMD identify. I'll be able to share the story about that event.
So it's a banquet?
No, it's just a service that we're giving them plaques. We want to have some refreshments, drinks. And I want to make the appeal, ladies and gentlemen, 4336917. We need the support. We had the last hour. We still need support to get the plaques, to get some refreshments, because we want men afterwards to be able to mingle and mix and network, okay? We don't want you to just come, have a two-hour service, and then just go home. Let's meet. Let's greet. Let's network. We have some light refreshments. And so we still looking for the support, 4336917. Call me. I'll come and pick up that small donation, no matter how small it is. We want to be able to reach our men. We want to talk to our men and lift up a man. To the ladies listening, this is why Erin and I love her, right? I don't hear her pulling down the men. We ought to lift up men. There are many good men. I am tired of hearing persons, all of these negative comments with men, right? Yes, there may be some men who are not taking care of their responsibility, sure. But how do we deal with people? I always refer back to prison ministries. It's not glamorous for me and Pastor Hannah. They can't give us nothing. Most of the time, they're looking for something from us. But you want to help people who is down and lift them up. That's what Jesus did.
30 seconds. What's happening in the prison ministry now?
Yes, like David say, I'm also part of Prison Fellowship. But we also am a part of an organization called QIP, which we go into the juvenile section. And we try to catch the children before they graduate to the big prison. And so we have programs for them, such as auto repair, like you was talking about. We help people go to teach them auto repair, teach them auto detailing. We teach them carpentry.
Yes.
We teach them masonry. We try to reach them very young, you know, because every generation is responsible for teaching another generation. So we try to get them very young. So this IMD is actually ahead of us under come under the leadership of plenty other ministries, okay?
Absolutely. So Sunday, what time?
So Sunday, we want to tonight, this evening, 6:30, Christie Park, and Sunday, 3 p.m., Chapel on the Hill, Tanique Williams, Allen.
And everyday prison ministries.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
This has been Guiding Me on the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you.